Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. It's Sunday, so it's comedy and DJ, aka music time. Now, I just like to emphasize that, point that out every now and then, because I recently found out DJ has a whole different abbreviation, which, believe me, you do not want to Google. Let's now go to dive straight into the humor. Now, for those of you that have seen today's Mind the Gap poster, which is on the Eagle FM Facebook page, then you may be either laughing or criticizing my basic arithmetic and how things may not work out. But hey. As a comedian, one of the things that I'm good at is mind wandering. That's how I like to describe it, where my mind just think about some of the most ridiculous things under the sun. And every time that I point this out, people laugh. I'm like, hey, that's good material. But, well, before we get into that, thank you for tuning in wherever you're tuned in from. This is Mind the Gap with Helmut here on Eagle FM, here to keep you company as always. We do this every Sunday. That means I'm here until the hour of one, just keeping you company and whatever it is that you're doing, just throwing a pair of noise cancelling headphones, and get to do whatever it is that you're doing, and you leave the entertainment part to me. And that is if you enjoy politics and social discussions. We're going to touch a little bit of local discussions today, and that is coming out of anti-corruptions engagement that they had in Rundu, trying to make a few adjustments to their legislations. And Paul Snow, the director, pointed out something fascinating that's taking place on an administrative level. It's not illegal per se, but I find it fascinating that Namibians are acting on a technical level. And when I say on a technical level, you can only do that if you understand how the system works. Look, it's not something that we shouldn't be doing. The anti-corruption does not recommend it, but I looked at it and listened to Paul Snow, and I couldn't help but go, yeah, we are catching up. Just to give us a couple of years, and then we'll be pulling off what Indonesia did with the don't trade. Now, let's start with the local, and then we go international. And international, we're gonna look at mostly social. It's like any other developing country. We would like to reach a level of economic development that we can all that we see in countries like like Singapore, South Korea, Japan, the US and the UK at this point. Let's just go with Scandinavian countries, because the US is redefining the word corruption at this point. My God, the level of corruption. Jesus Christ, I thought there is corruption in Africa. Oh no, don't forget that. Take Africa's corruption, combine it, and then you have a fraction of what's going on in most, in most countries in the West. That's corruptionus maximus. That just goes to show, if you ask me, that, what you need to put in place is legislations, because you can't just operate under the assumption that any person that you're going to put in power is going to be nice enough, irrespective of what they say when they are running for that particular office. Because anyone can say all kinds of nonsense when they are running for office, but when they get in that office, they're just going to do the exact opposite. Because they are there anymore. Before you start saying, that's just typical of politicians, really? Typical of politicians? How many times have you told someone's daughter, if you just give me your number and you let me to take a close off, I will do anything for you? And then they did exactly that. And 2-3 days, after you used up all your condoms that were nearing expiry date, then you decided to go back on each and every, pretty much every word you said before you used up all your condoms that were nearing expiry date. Not talking from experience, of course. Now, It's for me. It's you see, I like to compare what's taking place in the, at least on a psychological level, what takes place in the political arena, and to you know, comparing it to a small in scale though it may be, to what's taking place you know, in social you know, in our social lives. And one thing I have keep you know, one conclusion I keep reaching is that it's not politics that's a problem; it's humanity that's a problem. Take, well, your homeboy Trump, for example, when he was running for the office that he's now occupying, he was saying no wars, and if you vote for me, there won't be any wars. He went to war, thanks to Israel. And if you vote for me, one promise that he made was that if you vote for me, these Epstein files that my name is mentioned into more than the name of Jesus is mentioned in the Bible, I will bring this, I will make sure that everything is clarified as per the demand of the American people. And then he was voted on those, mainly those two promises. Then he decided to, not do what all those, well, none of it, whether it's the declassifying of the Epstein files. I know what he can say at this point. I mean, he declassified a lot of it. Have you seen how much of those files are redacted? He may as well just left them unclassified. Now, well, and then it was like, you know what? There's a lot of incompetence here. If you vote for me, there's no war. Yeah, right. How's that going? Now I have to pay, well, $30 a day. Actually, well, 80. 40. That's good. Yeah. I mean, I like the number, but I like the number 40. Not in a taxi. Now, in the bedroom is a very nice number, but it, outside of that, is not a very good one, especially in reference to money. If you get that joke, you and I have envy once. If you don't get that joke, please remain innocent. Please. You are the last of your kind. The rest of us are lost hope, you know. Lost hope. But anyway, let's talk about this, you know, my creativity and how it, you know, my creativity and how it managed to help me figure out a very genius strategy that will help, your mission if you choose to accept it, taxi drivers, to make a little bit of extra money on the side. Not on the side, just in your line of work. So, this is what I figured out. Instead of, you know, at some point here on Home Run, Helm and Dwight talked about this Chinese company known as Transsion. Now, what it did was, it sort of like did the opposite of what you'd expect, call it a market research to be. Because, for the most part, or more like the standard accepted formula, as far as I know, is that, when you are doing a market research, especially when it comes to affordability, the first thing you do is you look at that environment before you look at the environment, you look at your potential market, and you go, okay, you know what is the average income end here? And then, based on that, you can determine on whether or not, there are people in that area that can afford your product. And that's, now based on that, then you can decide on whether or not you should, well, get into that market. Basically. Well, Transsion did sort of like flipped the script. Now, what they did was they looked at Africa. While Apple and Samsung were looking at Africa and looking at, okay, you know what, which part has the, you know, the average income earners that can afford our product, and then get into those markets. And then those that do not have the average income earners that cannot afford their product, then they just pick the cheapest and most terrible of their, you know, of their phone, or more like product models. Then they can, they basically, you know, send those products, the terrible one, to the market that does not afford the flagship versions. Well, Transgen was like, yeah, no, instead of looking at how, you know, instead of designing a product and then before asking yourself, who can afford my product? How about, just how about you just look at a market and see what they can afford, then tailor a product that, then build a product that is tailored to the average income earner in your potential market. Like, that is genius. That's genius. And they did that, and they found a market in Africa. Where are all the African? Oh, we were here the whole time. Is there any African that may have thought of that way of doing market research? Maybe. But chances are very high we laughed at them instead of trying to help them find the flaws in their plan in order to improve it or make it better. In the spirit of Transient's way of doing market research, I said the, you know, with that inspiration, I was like, hey, what if I just come up with a comedic formula, like I always say, my relationship, financial, political advice that I give here, if you take it and you end up into trouble, that's on you. But if you take it and you figure out, and you find out later that it works, I want some credit. Now, moving on. That's my disclaimer of saying, take my financial, political, relationship, or any kind of advice at your own risk. Especially medical advice. That's on you. Moving on. Now, I decided to work out a formula because every time I'm in a cab, weary traveler stops the cab and they go, I only have $10. I only have $13. I only have, $14. I don't have a 50 cent. And they're more often left behind. Now, which is understandable. It's totally understandable. But here's the thing. If you look at it, that's a lot of money that is now in circulation. It's just that it doesn't reach the affordability threshold in terms of the recently, well, the recent $15 standard, like $15 for taxis, and that means the tote bag price is $30. That's painful, thanks to Donald Trump's foreign policy. Actually, it's Israel's foreign policy. Donald Trump is just the remote that is basically doing the whole thing, which is why you have heard of Donald Trump, but you have never heard of Leonard Leo. It's called soft power. In Game of Thrones, I believe season 3, that soft power is called, the Iron Bank of Braavos. Oof, that's my favorite part. I know. It sort of like kind of makes me, nerdy. Did nothing I haven't had before. But if you want to understand power, go back to Game of Thrones, and instead of focusing on the people that are taking their clothes off left, right, and center, focus on the institution, a financial institution known as the Iron Bank of Braavos. Now, that bank brought forth and toppled kings and kingdoms and queens and queendoms, I guess. I don't care. But they were not in the spotlight. They didn't do optics. They just controlled power from the background. But even the House Lannister, that house with those two brothers, who siblings who were having kids. I swear, whoever wrote that show, actually the book and then the show. As in everything else, the book is worse in detail and graphics. But anyway, so soft power. So now let's come back to the formula that I worked out for my beloved text writers. Instead of leaving someone that has $10, instead of leaving someone that has $15, instead of leaving some $15, that's the standard price. At least for the non-tote-bed haze distance. Now, instead of leaving someone that has $13, how about you just look? I like diplomacy. I like international relations. Negotiations is my bread and butter. I love it. Now, because of that, I decided to work out a mathematics slash diplomatic solution to I only have $13. I only have $10. And I decided to incorporate in some mathematics. Now you understand the nerdish part. But it's not complicated math. I'm not that smart. It's just simple cross multiplication. Now, if you understand, if you want to get at least, you know, a man, if you want to get a picture of what that is, head to the Eagle FM Facebook page. Just on today's, you know, on today's Mind the Gap wall poster, they said it's. I did, you know, a simple cross multiplication breakdown of what I'm gonna talk about on the other side of the theme song.
Hunger they do me strong too. Belly they sing national anthem. Pocket dry like Hamatan. Even my shoes don't resign work. Baba God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger won't kill me. I say borrow me 10 billion. Hunger won't own me. If I no pay back, oh Satan responsible. If I no pay back, oh devil responsible.
Hunger they do me strong team. Hunger they belly the sing national item. Pocket dry like a matem. What is that? But anyway, that is my theme song for my Mind the Gap. If you haven't listened to Mind the Gap in a while, then you were still with, and you're still stuck with the old, well, theme song. We changed. Things change. I mean, everything is changing. I mean, the price of everything, including bread, 15. Hey, I'm just realizing that now. Now that taxi price have just reached bread price. Now I have to choose whether I should go go to work or eat. Holy cow, this life is things are getting out of hand. Now, this formula. I call it the Eagle FM formula of inclusive passenger transport. All together now. What is the name of the formula? The Eagle FM formula of inclusive passenger transport. Now that we have that out of the way, let's get to calculating. Let's get to calculating. Now, say the distance, Helmut is coming from town. And now Helmut is going to Hakahana. His destination is Hakahana Clinic. Now, that distance, the price for it, the price for that distance is how much? $15. Unless you are being, driven that, unless you are going that side of Onjelekela, then don't ask. I'm a Tura boy. May not live in Tura, but believe me, I have enough Tura experience. Now, if you are going to, the reason why I'm not using Zimbabwe is because most of you guys have cars. So just stay out of this. You will not understand. Now, anyway, if you are going to Hakahana and you are being picked from town and you are going to Hakahana, the price, or basically, if you're being picked from, Klein Windhoek, that's still $15. If you are coming to Klein Windhoek, then that's gonna be 15 times two. Now, let's just use the minimum price that you pay for a cab. That's, $15. Unless your destination is Todd-Biddy Hayes. We'll be at Todd-Biddy Hayes in a few. So let's just focus on the non-Todd-Biddy Hayes distance. This is my wisdom, not gonna kill me. But anyway, moving on. If the distance, take for example, from where you are being picked, in town to Hakahana Clinic is, the distance is 10 kilometers. Then the standard formula is distance equals money. In this case, distance is 10 kilometers. The standard price is $15. The problem is you only have $13. Now, uh, the formula is, at least for this specific distance, the formula is 10 kilometers, as an, that's an example, 10 kilometers equals $15. The thing is, if someone has $13, how many kilometers close to their exact distance should you drive them? The agreement is you can only drive them the whole 10 kilometers if they have $15. The problem is they only have $13. So you, my advice is you do the math that will allow you to drive them the distance equal to that $13, not equal to $15. So in this example, 10 kilometer equals $15. So if 10 kilometer equals $15, $13 equals what distance? That's where you put an X now if you're doing algebra. Now, if you write it down or you just save yourself some confusion and headache and go to the Eagle FM Facebook page, you'll find that the formula is simple. If we agree that the according to the distance, 10 equals 15, 13 equals X on the side of distance. It's simple cross multiplication. All you just have to do is multiply 10 by 13 and then bring 15 on the other side, and you have 15x equals, well, you know, 15x, you have an equation. 15x equals 10 times 13, and you divide both sides by 15, and you have 8.66, which rounded off to the nearest number gives you 8.7. Now, you know why I'm not invited to go and perform at other places, because these are my jokes, and people don't like doing math in comedy. And for some reason, it's beautiful. It's something that you're supposed to, you know, understand and love. But anyway, here's the thing. Instead, therefore, if someone is headed the distance, you know, if someone is headed to a destination that's 10 kilometers away, and the price they would pay is $15, but they only have $13. Instead of driving them the whole distance of 10 kilometers, just drive them 8.7 kilometers and tell them to walk the rest of the 2.3 remaining kilometers. That way, you get the $13. And then that weary traveler gets a reduced distance and exercise. Two in one! Exercise, you get to your destination and lose weight all at the same time. Unless you have naturally lost weight like me, then just consider it exercise for your health. Now, what do I do if the distance is Todd Bailey Hayes? Don't worry. Don't worry. Believe me when I tell you, I don't have a life, I don't have a social life, so I thought this through. What if the distance is Todd Bailey Hayes? Now, let's say you are not stopping, you are being picked up in town and it's dark and you don't want to be dropped at Hakana Clinic. You want to be dropped that side of Onjelekela. Now, the thing is that side, it's going to be $30. Now, let's say the distance now increases from, let's say the distance now from where you are being picked to Onjelekela is 15 kilometers. The thing is, the price you'd pay is $30. But you just, tell your taxi driver, boss, I only have two tigers. Which, for those of you that don't understand Tura language, two tigers is $210, which means $20. Do we have to explain everything? You people need friends from Tura if you don't understand that. But two beds with one stone. If you have friends from Tura, they won't, well, you will understand Namibia more. Because people that live in fancy location, I don't think you people understand Namibia. You people for some reason think you live in Europe. You're still in Namibia. No sense. Now, anyway. If you are, now, for the Todd Bailey Hayes distance, let's say the distance is 15 kilometers. The price you would pay is $30. But you only have $20. How far should I take you as a driver? Now, how far should I take you? You can't walk from town to, you can't walk from town to, from town to Akahana. At least not at night. Yeah, especially at night. So, if our distance is 15 kilometers and our standard price for Todd Bailey Hayes distance is $30, but the passenger, the weary traveler, the traveler in need, a broke one, and that only have $20. What distance should we drive this, this weary traveler for them to get to their destination? Because destination here is important. The same simple multiplication. Distance equals money. And our distance is 15 kilometers. Our money in the standard rate is $30. But our passenger here who we really love very much and want them to get their destination, they only have $20. What distance should we help them with? So, cross multiplication. 15 kilometers times the $20 they have divided by 30 gives you 10. So you have to drive them 10 kilometers. And then tell them, you know what, according to the Eagle FM's formula of inclusive transport, of inclusive passenger transport, Eagle FM's formula of inclusive passenger transport, I'm only allowed to drive you 10 kilometers, and then you can just walk the rest of the distance. Now, of course, that's open to negotiations. You can just say, because you are a very good passenger, or because you gave me your number, or because whatever, no judging. I'll just help you out. Or maybe that's the direction I'm headed, so I'll just, help you out. But I think this is an untapped economy. This is an untapped economy. At least I thought my formula was spot on. And this formula is going to work for all the situations. Yes, Ding. Well, it has its own flaws. Now, that one flaw was pointed out by, Genius Princess on Facebook. More on that on the other side of the full theme song.
In a check the pot. Yesterday food finish. Today pot day hot with nothing. Water they boil inside empty pot. Steam they come out. I close the lid. Pretend say something they cook. I count my coins since morning. In no rich transport. I trek 3 miles to work under sun. No escort. My shoe they open mouth. The soul don't separate. I use rubber band hold them, so he no go vibrate. I reach work. My yoga ask why I dey sweat. I say na exercise. Hunger they make me forget. Lunchtime everybody job. I drink water, fill my chest. I tell them I already ate. God forgive me for that jest. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Go kill me. If I don't pay back, God Satan responsible. If I don't pay back, God the devil responsible. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. If I don't pay back, God Satan responsible. If I don't pay back, God the devil responsible. My freaking school send letter. Done overdue. Teacher put my child out of class. What I go do? I beg the teacher give me 1 more week. She done hear that one before. She don't even speak. Night time I kneel down. Whole family they sleep. I cry to God quiet. The kind of cry that is deep. My wife ask what we go cook. I say God go provide. She look at me. She look at pot. Nothing there inside. Papa, 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 God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa, papa, God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. Till night.
nothing to show, something no they right. My neighbor they cook, he smell enter my room. I swallow saliva, I pretend say I fool. Boom! I know they give up, but Lord hear my cry. Because hunger no supposed be the reason I die. Just borrow me small, I go walk out to pay. And if I feel lost, now devil lead me astray. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me.
Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Welcome back. Now we have 22 minutes left to the hour of 12, and don't worry, you know, we still have ample of time to basically talk. Now let's shift to what happened in Rundu 2 days ago. What is that? Well, you see, the anti-corruption, the anti-corruption were in Rundu, if you are not aware, in case you've been living under, you know, under a rock. They were in Rundu for their, what are they calling it? Stakeholder consultation on the draft, draft national anti-corruption strategy 2026-2030. That's a fancy way of saying we are trying to ask the, to consult the public so that we can engage on how to fight corruption in our country. And this is how can we come up with the best strategy to fight corruption in our country? And then the following were pointed out, that there is a silent corruption that no one is talking about. That's because technically, legally speaking, it's not corruption. Technically, it's not. Technically, it's not, but now it's being exploited. Those technical loopholes are being exploited. So Namibians are geniuses at exploiting technical loopholes. And one of the most exploited technical loopholes that was pointed out in this engagement was, is an administrative one, which is very tricky to regulate, if you ask me. No wonder there is no specific straightforward regulatory measures against it. And so, ACC Director General Paul Snoa warned that public officials attending workshops and training programs unrelated to their duties is a sign of growing corruption. Growing? This corruption is gray hair at this point. Growing corruption, saying the practice is driven by personal gain and abuse. Now, there's awesome audio where he's sort of like explaining what this is. Now, picture Eagle FM, and Helmut is the boss. Just hang on, boss. I'm not planning a coup here. Just an example. Anyway, Helmut is a boss, and he happened to have Helmut is a boss in the presentation department, and his wife. Not the one that works in presentation department like me. That's the Zambezian one. No, the Ndonga one, the one that works in production department. I'm the boss, and I work in the I'm part of the. Yeah, let's just me be the boss. Just for this example, I'm John Walenga. Nice. Now here's the. That's a terrible example. Because, well, yeah, that's a terrible example. Yeah, I'm HD. Now that's the, yeah, that's better. Or France, that's better. Because, well, general language is very far from the day-to-day running of the company. He's involved, but day-to-day running, just leave him out of it. Now, so I'm HD. Now, HD, don't punch me in the face. Just an example here. I'm the boss. I have a wife that works in production department. But there is a workshop that is going to take place. But that workshop is for radio presenters only. Now, instead of sending a radio presenter to attend that workshop, which comes with a lot of S&T, I will take my wife from the production department to go and attend a radio presenting department. That basically is what Bro Paul Snow was trying to point out. It turns out that is mostly motivated by favoritism. Like, that's my homie. Now, instead of me picking someone from the, you know, now, the person that was supposed to attend that radio presenting department, and I are not in good terms. Maybe I asked for their number and they said no. Now, instead of sending them on that on that workshop to go and enjoy the benefits that come with that workshop, I would just plug someone from a different department that has nothing to do with the workshop that's in a, that's taking place. It turns out that's what's taking place in Namibia. And even though it doesn't have any specific legislation that deems it as corruption, it is being classified as such. Now, here's one thing that is making me enjoy the technicality part of it. Well, it's kind of hard for you to be investigated for that. And even if, take for example, you were arrested, it would be kind of difficult for you to be prosecuted because using which law is that's going to be one big problem. That means much of the prosecution will be thumb-sucking prosecution. And prosecution and thumb-sucking do not go hand in hand. We have a commercial break coming up on the other side. Mind the gap with Albert.
Ritavazende kize imba izwezi pili lwekelize mikwaye nguyencha kukona kunolofaza kwankufisa hamocholo ni mata amskavo na kale kana mitukselize kubona mseverezo wa imba ye mufumane liseverezo zezwezi pili ze kakuli fafela mashering ali kana $36 kakweli kapa kamikwaye kutesfa fasi ye tatama 5% machipisa hamungolisari kwelize talu 10% machipisa hamungolisari kwelize sirela 25% machipisa hamungolisari kwelize lishumiteli muketeri kwelize Movata, Kumukone, Karaki, Kola Zen, the Zo Imba, Miswalezi Panachipisa. Imba, Okukanri Fasi, Kaufela. We pay for several Zosa Imba Kachenu, Kumukone, Kola Zen, the Kaufela.
Welcome back. That's one thing that was pointed out. Now, what I'm looking forward is when this, anti corruption, national health, national anti-corruption strategy 2026-2030 comes out. I want to see how that part is going to be addressed. What will be the mitigation procedures for something of that nature? Because if you just tell people to report, boy, would they be sneaking on each other like no man's business. And even if they report that, again, the prosecution is going to be a thumb-sucking one, and thumb-sucking and prosecution, once again, does not go hand in hand. That's one of my favorite expression. It doesn't go hand in hand. The equivalent of that in my language would be kadiaku wapo fochi, which literally translates to it doesn't fall together. It does not fall together. It doesn't make sense in English, but in Timbukushu, it's delicious. Kadiyaku wapo fochi. Excellent. Except when you say, it doesn't go hand in hand. If you translate that in Timbukushu, you're going to sound ridiculous. It doesn't go in, yeah. Kadiyaku yenda moko no moko, and every Mbukushu will be looking at you going like, whatever you smoked, please stop. So. Let me give you one terrible example. Terrible example. Don't F with me. Well, the Russian expression of I don't give an F, if you translate it directly, it translates to it F's me, which made me go like, hey, I'm the one doing the insult here. Why am I being insulted? And I was like, no, don't translate it directly, because then you'd be insulting yourself. Well, in Russian, it translates into you basically kissing someone. But if you translate it to English, the insult makes a 180-degree turn. I'm like, you know what? I'm not using that. Hey, man, when you learn a language, any language, for some reason, the first thing you master is insults. I don't use any of it. That's because I don't want to be punched in the face. And also, if you are going to say something rude to someone, the last person I'd be saying that to would be a Russian. Not that they are naturally, aggressive, but, the interesting thing about, everything Hollywood has, I've just come to learn that everything Hollywood have taught me about Russian, especially when it comes to how straightforward they are. If you ask them, do I look fat? You better not be fat, because they're going to be like, yep, you are. And you'll be like, oh my God, they're very, no. And that's not a Russian thing. That's an Eastern European thing. It turns out. And I did not know that. They are very honest in a lot of Western Europeans, and in ways that a lot of Western Europeans are not. If you are going to ask an Eastern European whether you are ugly, you better be handsome, because if you are ugly, they'll be like, yeah, pretty much, man, you are ugly. Is there anything else I can help you with? They're not being rude. They're just, you know what? Let's just say, for much of the things that you know about Western Europe, basically the Western world, when you are going east, think more African, basically. Raising children. Oh, you know what? Well, don't spank the children, because you'll disturb their psychological psyche. Yeah. Eastern Europe, Asia, the Arab world, Africa. We do things differently. We don't spank. We beat. Yeah. We have mothers with sandals that have multi-purpose use for as a footwear, and also a disciplinary device. And if you look at the behavior, you see that it worked for a very long time. It worked for a very long time, till we started going full human rights, and then everything went through the window. And look, there's a reason why human rights popped up, because some parents stopped using sandals. They started using broomsticks, which at that point now is child abuse. Papa God, borrow me $5 billion. So let's park the bus here for all the local discussions, at least. Let's stay a little social, and let's go to Asia. We are a developing country. We want to develop. We want to see ourselves at the economic level of that of Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan. But to get to that level, that comes with a lot of social implications in terms of society changes a lot when you reach at that level of economic development. On the other side of call me. I know you don't have my number. It's the title of the song, Call Me.
Did what I did, said I wouldn't do it twice, until I did pay the second domino effect came. I don't know why, still no excuses, don't you gonna reply, should've reasoned, there's a pain in my mind. No, not in my head first, I should've thought in my head first, can't even get out my bed first. Just don't know how, and it's weighing me down now. Call me now, so much I wanna take it. Still don't know how, and I can't live without you. Call me now.
Oh, I miss your messages in the morning, telling me you love me, giving me warning. Which fool gon' really lose that? Baby, if I could, I'll take it all back. Never knew I could until I was falling. Broken down bad, I'm really folding. Wish you'd call me now. I cannot take it all night. My head first, I should've thought in my head first. Can't even get out of my bed, girl. Like that, I'm missing her. Know you got my pussy, don't it?
Just don't know how, and it's weighing me down now. Call me now, so much I wanna take it. Still don't know how, and I can't live without you. Call me now.
I've been trying to move, but I can't go forward. You're making my heart go cold. One call and make it all better. Sometimes, oh, I wish I never gave you all of my love on broke. Next time I'm gon' take it slow. Can't wait, it's right now or never. That's why I've been
trying to reach out to you. Just don't know how, and it's weighing me down. Call me now, so much I wanna take it. Still don't know how, and I can't live without you.
Silhouette shining in the soft candlelight. Brown skin glowing like a summer sunrise. When you look at me, baby, I get lost in your eyes. Every little whisper got me falling deeper. Heartbeat racing every time I see ya. Ain't no world outside this room. It's just me and you. Let me put my love on you. Like midnight on your skin, wrap you in these arms so tight. Never let the night time in. Every kiss electric too. Feel it from within. Let me put my love on you. 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 Slow jam playing from the speakers low.
Slow jam plays from the speakers low. Let's just get to the social part of the discussion. Forget the, you know, the romance vibes that, we don't have a break coming up. So we can just cross through until I get my DJ time. Then we can unleash the DJ-ness in the comedian. Yeah, basically switch from a comedian, comedian to DJ. Now, a few days ago, I came across a term, like a few years ago. I started reading about it sometimes in 2024. And that is now this is a term that's coming out of the Japanese language. It's a hikikomori. I'm not sure if you have heard of it, but hikikomori is a condition of severe social withdrawal and extreme isolation. It's been pointed out, at least Japan is basically part of the West, so I can trust Western sources on this one, that a lot of Japanese, about a million plus, have to be pulled out of their bedrooms annually because of just intentionally deciding to go in isolation. Now, I thought it was depression in the beginning, but it turns out it's not. It's slightly, if not just a whole different thing. It's not depression. They are not isolating themselves because, because they are suicidal. At least the hikikomori type of isolation is just isolation on purpose, because they do interact, just not physically, because most of them have just stay indoors for 6 months to a year. Some can just go years, which made me go like, yes, why? Well, it turns out, I think this explains one of those reasons why the Japanese, or more like, Asians, have not been very good at colonizing. Because culturally, they are very, 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 very strict on culture. And one of those cultures is that, interacting with others, how to put this? Asian culture, especially, I believe, I'm not sure about Chinese much, but Japanese much, demands a lot even from interacting with strangers, because they know the etiquette on how to interact with fellow Japanese. The problem is, how do I interact with someone from a different culture without coming off as offensive? They are not worried about being offended as they are about offending you. And I was like, really? For the most part, they don't want to interact with you, not because you are bad or you're evil or they hate you, unless they tell you that, then yes. But for the most part, they are scared of interacting with you because they are, they don't know how to interact with you. So they are afraid of offending you. My God, that level of caring for people. Really? That's, cultural etiquette is very central. Is very central to most, if not all, Asian countries. Like, culture is everything. Culture is everything. And then you go to Africa and you find people that has all Oshiwambo names, all Kavango names, all Zambezia names, all Herero names, but they don't speak their native language. Let me get this straight. Your kids don't speak your home language, and you are proud of that? But you are a pan-Africanist. Really? What type of a pan-African does that make you, if your own kids do not speak your own home language? Because that's terrible parenting. At least my kids speak fluent English. Right. Fluent English. And employment-wise, yep, that's an excellent thing. But cultural and heritage-wise, now, if they were to ask your kids, who are they identity-wise? Because they are definitely not English. They're not. They're Namibians. Ethnic-wise, cultural-wise, identity-wise, who are they? These ones are Mbugushus. Do they speak the Mbugushu? No, they went to private school. Now, culturally, again, I ask, who are they? No, you just hate my family. No, you hate your family. Somewhere out there, someone, you know, praying for me with holy water. Keep praying, buddy. Keep praying. Maybe, you know, just, you know, throw a million or two, you know, my way. But, so let's get to the hikikomori part. The hikikomori is a intentional isolation of a lot of citizens that has now reached a critical mass in Japan to the point where the authorities now has to get involved. Now, every time that we look at developed countries, we like to admire their economic prosperity, their tech level, transport infrastructure, health and education, everything. But that level of development, it turns out, comes with a lot of social sacrifices that we are not looking at. And I'm not saying we should look at all these things. And this is not just happening in Japan or, you know, Japan, in Japan or China, Asia, Singapore. It's happening, basically, all these Asian countries. But, it's happening in a lot of developed countries. But hikikomori is a government coined term specifically used in Japan. I'm not saying we should look at this and start making fun of the Japanese. I'm just saying if we want to reach the Japanese level of development in terms of industrialization, we may want to look at both the pros and cons of reaching that level of economic development. The same goes for Singapore and South Korea. But I'm not saying we should look at all the pros and cons so that we can adopt the pros and make fun of them on the cons, but or prepare. How are we going to address this when we get there? Because believe me, these governments are trying. They are trying. They are trying. How are they trying? Now, let's go to Japan Times, one of their oldest media platform. Oldest. When I say oldest, I mean, it turns out dates back to the 1800s. Yeah. I mean, that old. The Japan Times in February of this year, they wrote an article, platform appeared an article which was titled, "Why Asia, not just Japan, why Asia can't undo decades of falling fertility rates." Singapore has been put on notice. The city-state has long wrestled with how to lift the birth rate. Not reduce, lift the birth rate. But despite the array of incentives, couples aren't showing much interest in larger families on having any or having any at all. Now, why should we talk about declining birth rate in Namibia? Two reasons. One, we're just 3 million and we have this giant landmass. So, economic size, we can talk about, putting the population in mind. But, when it comes to landmass, we have a large chunk of it. But the reason why we should talk about it is if you compare our 2011 statistics with the 2023 one, one thing that you see is that in the 2011 statistics, the households were few, but the size of the households were bigger. Translation, there were very few families, but those families were bigger in terms of family members. But the 2023 statistics revealed the complete opposite. What it revealed was that the families have increased, but the family members per family has reduced. That's a sign that a lot of people are watching at the how difficult the economy is and are deciding to have few kids. Translation, they're using no condoms. Or they are, you know, perfecting their pull-out games. Whichever you go for, no judging. Now, that means before even reaching the economic level of developed countries that we would like to reach, we are already looking at a large number of people either deciding not to have kids or deciding to have less than two. And you can't blame them. Now, if you have two of them and they have to go to school every day and they live in Windhoek, you're spending $60 per day. if you are dealing with the tote bag haste distances, you are spending, actually, you're spending $30. Okay, $30 per, you know, if there are two, you are spending $30, you know, per child. And that makes it $60, well, for two of them. That's per day. That's just transport. Forget food, clothes, and all those things. And all the recreation, like movie and the entertainment and all those, in that, you know, if you want to take the kids out for one of the joy rides in any of the malls. If you are dealing with tote bag haste distances, you are looking at $120 per day just on transport. That cost is making people go, you know what? Now, the thing is, the behavior, when people decide to have less and less kids, over time, it begins to impact the national population. And that's because you begin to have an aging workforce that is not having a very good enough replacement strategy. That replacement strategy impacts overall. Now you don't have a lot of people to to employ, and you have a large number of people that are nearing retirement. What that means is you are now going to end up with a small population a small working population that will serve a large retired population. We're talking about maybe long hours. Maybe you may have to open the doors to immigrants and the Japanese, I believe, or is the Japanese or the Chinese did that to Nigerians or Africans? That was last year, I believe. So when you tell people for a very long period, of time, not to have a certain number of kids, that tends to get engraved in their psyche. So you are not going to switch a flip next day and start making them to have more kids. Plus, you can't make them have more kids. It's not like you're going to supervise them. It's like, Oga, are you tired already? Go again. We need more kids for the population. More power, more passion. No, that would be the invasion of their privacy. Because some of you would be compiling their reports. This Oga, just 2 minutes. He was snoring. In 2 minutes, how can we succeed? How can we build our population when we are falling asleep in 2 minutes? That'd be one awesome report to read, but I'm not saying anyone should compile a report of that invasion of privacy. Invasion of privacy, people. Invasion of privacy. So let's look at some of the challenges that Asian countries are facing in terms of population. A lot of them have achieved the economic development that we would like to hope, but that came at a price. Like I said, I'm not making fun of Asian countries. We just want to learn from them. Because if we want to achieve that level of economic development, we have to prepare for that economic, for that social change. How are they dealing with it? When we get there, how are they dealing with it? Is there a way we can avoid it? Or if we find ourselves in that situation, I believe it's just a matter of when. Because I'm looking at the household statistics from 2011 and 2023, and it's already showing. And also the price of, if I look at the price of bread and the price of transport, again, it's showing. Challenges, the challenges, back to the Japan Times, the challenges is shared by most successful nations. Ultra slow fertility is a byproduct of rapid development and elevated living standards. South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, and China all have rates of fertility well below 2.1, the level at which demographers say a society reproduces itself. So if it goes below 2.1 at that level, if the society is in 2.1 of levels of of fertility, you're fine. But below that, it becomes a problem. leaders are far from comfortable with the, you know, with the trends, and Singapore is still crunching the numbers for 2025, though they are unlikely to improve much from the prior year. Their deputy prime minister, the deputy prime minister of Singapore was quoted saying, "I'm not likely to give good news," in reference to the fertility rates impacting the, you know, the city state. Island city states. That's one nice identifying marker. And now, his interview, the deputy prime minister of Singapore, his interview joked that Singaporeans sometimes show more interest in acquiring pets than bringing bundles of joy into the world. I believe it was last year when pet strollers outsold baby strollers in South Korea. Yeah. In other words, people are deciding to have pets over kids. Why? Because with pets, you don't have to worry about college. With kids, you definitely, if you're a responsible parent, you definitely have to worry about college. That means, in your family planning, you will have to incorporate in mathematics that factors in inflation and inflation and all kinds of costs, from clothes to transport to food to, you know, kindergarten, primary school, high schools, college or university, all the way through. You are doing financial math or across multiple sectors over a period of 18 to 20 years. That's the math you must do now before deciding to have a kid. Now you know why I decided to do the transport math. Because a lot of us think math is just for a selected few. Well, newsflash, it's for all of us. If we want to make wise decisions, we probably want to just do that math. You are doing math in food, clothing, transport, school, across a period of 18 to 20 years. That's just for one child. Welcome to urbanization. At this point, condoms don't look that bad now, do they? But also, we want to grow our population. And if you are in Namibia, factor in economic inequality, and you have even a much bigger problem. Because when it comes to economic inequality, South Africa and Namibia are notoriously known for that. Don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. So, Singaporeans are deciding to just, prioritizing pets over a bundle of joy. Another minister at the same time even called the fertility rate abysmal. Singapore had hoped for a boost in 2024. Instead, the rate which measures the average number of kids a woman has in her childbearing years was stuck below 1.0. Just put in mind that the healthy fertility rate is 2.1, and these guys are at 1.0. The figures has been reiterating for decades, so it's not something that was made in like 24 hours. This is something that took decades to change. It's sort of like lung cancer. You don't start smoking today and wake up with cancer the next day. Well, it takes time, but once it shows up, you are cooked. So this fertility rate also takes years of social change to come to this low level fertility. And once it shows up, it starts impacting the overall population of the country, which in turn begins to impact the country's economy. You can't flip a switch and change it in 24 hours. It's just going to take decades of convincing. And from convincing, usually incentives shows up. You have these advantages from the government. So, the figures has been retreating for decades. When the country became independent in the 60 years ago, it was around 4.5. That's one heck of a drop. In the absence of meaningful boost, the low level raises a profound question about the role of immigration, robotics, artificial intelligence. Good luck with that. And the country's residents are also getting older. The government has warned that the public will soon be a super aged society. Then, like I pointed out earlier, when you have a large number of retirees and a small number of working group, now you have a small number of working group that have to serve a large number of retirees in terms of pension. Not good for the economy, not good for the workforce, not good for a lot of things. So for the African continent is, we pride ourselves as a continent for having, we have the largest, youth population. Well, this youth population, if you have developed countries that are now ending up with large number of elderlies, where do you think that youth population is going to go in terms of seeking opportunity? Developed countries. Forget diamonds. Forget gold. Forget uranium. Africa's biggest commodity is its youthful population. And I don't think we are appreciating that enough, because we are all focused on diamond and oil and gold and uranium. And we are going to wake up and realize that these countries have reached a desperation where they are giving citizenship like sweets. Now, how many African countries are going to remain with young people if countries like Singapore decides, you know what, we have this citizenship as an incentive for anyone that would like to come and work into our countries? Y'all are going to be left without voters. Just something to put in mind. But the advantage is all the money that you are stealing and hiding it in developed countries, we will find it there. We will find it in those developed countries. It will be us that will be there making decisions. We'll be like, oh, where are you from again? Namibia. Oh, you were in charge. You were in this ministry. So that money that went missing, so it was you. Ha! Well, for you to have access to your money, you will have to go through me. Now, I go chop your money. See your life. Mumu. Now, 20 minutes into the hour of 12, about to reach DJ time. So let's wrap things up. What are some of the incentives basically being put in place here? Back to the Japan Times again. Unlike Japan, South Korea, and China, Singapore strives to attract the workers it needs, especially in industries it considers strategic, such as technology, engineering, and finance. In important ways, the city-state is better placed than appears to navigate the hurdles, because Singapore has a strategic location to its advantage. If you just look it up, on the map, it's surrounded by a lot of developing Asian countries, so immigrant workers easy peasy. Arab nations have also largely depended on immigrant workers. So one thing you see here is that the more a country develops, the more it needs immigrant workers. The question is, what happens when all the countries are developed and there are no immigrant workers? And, no one is thinking about this now, isn't it? And that's because everyone is busy being politically correct. Now you need, don't worry, that's why you have comedians. Like pointing out the what people consider not politically correct. I mean, not politically correct. That's where we thrive. So In important ways, the city-state that Singapore is better placed than its peers to navigate the these hurdles. Yet there are limits since the electoral setback in 2011. The ruling party has emphasized that topping up the population won't come at the expense of jobs for citizens. You know what I pointed out earlier? Jobs for citizens. Your youthful population, especially in industries that matter, like finance and technology, are about to leave the continent in droves. We're already talking about brain drain is a major discussion on the African continent. And with developed countries, populations in decline and them being in need of workforce in industries that we want to build on the continent, like finance and technology, what do you think is going to happen to young people? They are all going to, with those skills, you're only going to be left with the politics, with politician majors, professional liars for S&T. Now, should governments just give up? The article asks. Even if measures like increased paternity leave, baby bonuses, now these have been implemented, I believe in South Korea and Singapore, and I believe to some degree Japan. Paternity leave, baby bonuses, and a raft of tax incentives fail to move the fertility need to a significant degree. That doesn't mean they are bad policies. So these countries are implementing all types of incentives, but it seems like it's too late. Now, the advice, if you ask me, is for developing countries, they must start incorporating all these incentives now. Because by the time that we reach the economic level of these countries, and that's when we start saying, you know what, now let's just incentivize, parenthood. Oh, it's going to be late. At this point, you are going to have a bunch of people that are experts at using condoms. Their pull-out game is going to be, unmatched. Therefore, they'll be like, what's the point? I'll spend years perfecting this skill. Why should I just lose it for money? Yeah. My advice is developing countries should start investing in families today. Just start small. Social programs for families. Just start small. Because if we just say, let's get to the level of a developed country, and then we start incentivizing family, from the look of things, it's going to be late, because Asian countries have tried it all, according to Japan Times. According to the Japan Times, even if measures like increased paternity leave, for mothers, and baby bonuses, and other tax incentives, Asian countries have tried these, but their populations and fertility rates seem to be not changing at all. In other words, once a society decides that I'm either having one kid or no kids at all, first of all, it takes years to engrave that mentality into society. And once that mentality is engraved into society, thanks to economic problems and the cost of living, basically, you can't just flip the script the next day to make people start having kids. You can't. You are going to come up with incentives over decades. And so far, Asian countries are suffering from success. You can call it that. They are suffering from development over economic development. Yeah. That's the issue we have. So, and then just to wrap things up here, because I'm going full DJ in just a couple of minutes. The author of the article points out that just don't expect miracles. Financial approaches to low fertility do not account for the powerful shift in values that has driven the move to smaller families. They were financial market forces, economic inequality, the rising cost of living. These things are what pushes people to have no babies or to have less or few kids. To have none or less kids. And this takes, again, decades. Just don't expect a miracle. That's true. Now, what three ushers, that's Jennifer Schuber and Michael Tittenbaum and Jay Winter wrote in their book, Toxic Demography, Ideology and the Politics of Population. Values could transform, but because of the long-lasting momentum of demographic change, countries in which such counter shift might occur after their populations were already declining would continue to register in negative growth for several decades. In other words, as developing countries, if we don't start incentivizing family now, by the time that we reach the level of economic growth that we see in developed countries like Singapore, Japan, China, South Korea, by the time that we reach that level, and we now start incentivizing families, it's going to take decades. And that's from experts. It's going to take decades. That means it takes decades to get people to master their pull-out games and their condom use skills. And once these two skills begin to impact population and ipso facto impacting the overall country's economy, it becomes also difficult to get them to the Thimbukushu word is there, but it's not coming out. We call it kuhongaura. It's manipulate. Kuhongaura, but if you translate that Thimbukushu word into English, kuhongaura, it literally translates to teach and buy. But that's not the literal translation. Is fun. If you want to learn a new language, just get a few phrases in your target language and start directly translating them. It becomes comedy instantly and makes learning a language fun. That's from experience. Now, so what do you think? Should developing countries start investing in families? In family incentives now, because once you are a developed country, you have already engraved the minds of the people. You have, a lot of guys have perfected their pull-out and condom use game, so it's going to be difficult to convince them to stop that. And at this point now, you are broke, and a lot of them have mastered the art of taking suspiciously long shower. Now, getting them from that to having families again is going to be difficult, it turns out. So it's DJ time that brings the comedy part of Mind the Gap to an end, and that brings us to the beginning of DJ part of Mind the Gap. Ladies, not that kind of DJ. See your life. Music time.
Breath, heart on your shoulder, I confess. like it's only tonight. Mm-hmm, your eyes promise me more. Every small touch opens the door. You pull me closer. I lose my breath. Heart on your shoulder. I confess, midnight on your skin.
That is my old theme song. Still love it because it's African and, well, the other one is, the new one is African too. It's just that the new one is West African. This one is, the old one is all is East African, yeah.
Hey, my soul.
Ashe war mine, ashe war lelaria. Ebolo ye verne pugo mayanar. Ne shawin kamo lana mayanar. From the island breeze to the city light.
Turn it up.
Let the night breathe. City breathing, shadows on the wall. Red lights flash when I hear your call. Every step like deja vu. Like the world been waiting for me to move with you.
Bassline talking, speakers shake. Heartbeat matching every break. Crowd so close, but I see you clear. One look and the noise disappears.
Hands on your waist, time slow down. Whole room fades when you come around. No rules here, just the sound. Gravity lost when we touch the ground.
We got electric. Laughter in the air. Your eyes locked and I'm frozen there. Every doubt just fades away when your rhythm tells my heart to stay. Temperature rising every time you're near. Crowds come moving but it's only us here. I don't rush, I don't pretend. Let the night stretch, don't let it end. World on pause when you touch my skin. Every spark pulls me deeper.
When the sun go down, island roots with a city sound. One love when the world spin round.
DJ spin that rhythm again. Sweat on skin, let the fire extend. No pressure here, just desire. Two souls dancing in real fire. If the sky falls, let it fall on us. We already weightless, already lost. No tomorrow, just this now. I feel forever when you're around.
Light it up now, light it up, light it up.
Your heartbeat in my hands. Every look say what we mean. This energy don't need a screen. Lights flash fast but we move slow. Let the rhythm take control. Every step sync perfectly. You and me in real time frequency.
Pull me closer, don't let go. Even when the lights go low, I still feel you in my bones.
Turn it up.
Every single move got me feeling alive. Turn the dark to gold. Let the bassline speak when you pull me close. It's electric.
Body to body, no need to pretend. Lost in the moment, start again. Burning slow, but the feeling deep when you pull me close. It's electric.
Energy don't tell lies.
Electric.
Electric heat. Yeah. Electric heat until you start, you know, doing the math of how much it costs to maintain the electric heat. I'm just a DJ. I'm just here to, you know, to DJ the romance into your relationship. And don't worry, I got you covered on that too. Because, well, maybe a comedian, but I have a few, you know, tricks up my sleeve of getting people into trouble. And then buy myself an electric blanket. You know, don't want people going, hey, you know what? I think it was, you know, no. I bought myself an electric blanket to avoid that.
but Michael Jacksoning in the middle of the night, you know, because you had, you know, you had your electric blanket had a short circuit. Anyway, music. Coming up is Into the Sea, Wave, by Fitz, Into the Sea, Fitz Healer. It's one of those songs that I just, much of my playlist is either coming out of documentaries, social media posts. I just found that just shazam the heck out of the song and then started listening to the whole thing, or video games, or just some random audios that I just listen to on YouTube, you know, the long ones, you know, mostly tropical. Mostly tropical that I just, for some reason, it's like they have this very awesome hidden playlist, but don't worry. They're not hidden now. They were, at least.
I see the waves crashing on the shore just before they fade out. You said you're looking for something pure. The girls in the mouth. I'm trying to stay cool and see you digging my feet deep in the sand. Holding a beer in my hand, I watch you watch the sun sink into your ocean blue eyes. I'm falling for you. I'm falling for you like a siren through the sea. Wanna be trapped in your water, so push me to the sea. I'm falling for you like a siren through the sea. Wanna be trapped in your water, so push me to the sea. The party's over, the fire's out. No reason to stay.
For you like a sand into the sea. They'll only sing that for you if you have sand called money. Ladies, just trying to be a comedian here, but let's go a little old school, at least my old school, of Burn It Up with yours truly, R. Kelly. Man, it's been a while ever since I listened to that song.
The roof is on fire. Burn it up. Girl, burn where you dance. You are my one desire. Come on.
So hot you're on fire. 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 So hot you're on fire.
When you roll it, I can't control it. And when you throw it, it's hard to catch it. And when you shake it, I pray you don't break it. And when you drop it, girl, I cannot take it. Something about the way you move, sweat is dripping all over you. The way you let the beat take over you. Baby, don't stop, keep it going, make it hot. The way you put your back in motion, mama. Oh, I love the way you're freaking it, mama. You got me coming out of VIP, mama. Cause you look like the girl in my dreams, mama. I step up in the book, first thing I see is you freaking it. Thing up to me, closer, oh, a little closer. Work it, come on and shake it on me now. Work it, come on and work it on me now. Work it, girl, it's getting heated now. Work it, it's time to put this club on fire now.
Burn it up, come on,
girl, make it hot like the roof is on fire.
Burn it up, come on,
girl, my way you dance, you are my one desire.
Welcome back from that short DJ session, and we now just have about 4 minutes before we call it a day, at least for Mind the Gap for this weekend. So let's wrap things up, shall we? I did a very simple math formula of how to bring about mutual transport services and also extra money in the making for taxi drivers. The formula is on the Eagle FM Facebook page. And there's one princess that just poked, you know, that popped my balloon of that formula. You will find that in the comment section. Just head to the Eagle FM Facebook page for more details on the formula. You're welcome. And it's simple substitution, cross multiplication. Well, you're smart. You'll figure it out. And before you start saying, you know what, it's just well, taxi drivers, they won't understand. Who said driving a taxi means you're an idiot? Like, that's the part I don't understand about people. That's why we have this whole assumption that anyone that speaks fancy English makes a good leader. Well, at least we believed that for a very long time until those good leaders with Rara started stealing all the money. Then we realized, oh, it's not about the English, it's about greedy. So, you have, thanks to unemployment in the country, you have a lot of qualified individuals to do all kinds of work that find themselves in lines of work they just, didn't see themselves in. Some are taxi drivers, some will find the mean cleaners, some are comedians, some are... Yeah, I know. So, when I came up with that formula, I wasn't operating under the assumption. I knew, you know, our literacy rate is high. We can figure out simple cross multiplication, but most importantly, we can figure out a simple humor or a simple joke, or at least my wife is going to kill me. Just interrupted something she was working on. Okay, un momento. Now, here's the thing. Oh, boy. Now, 2 minutes left to the hour of one. So, obviously, that brings us to the end of today's Mind the Gap. Just there's a lot of administrative corruption going on, and even though this corruption is not well explained or defined in terms of what it is and the penalties that comes with engaging in this type of corruption. But I'm sure if you are keeping, if you are keeping up with the consultations being held by the ACC for the 2026-2030 anti-corruption strategy. I hope you all are participating, because when that document comes out, and you can bet Helmut and Dwight will be here talking about that document, we don't want someone saying, you know what, some of those things are not going to work because, well, they should have asked me, I would have told them the best way to do it. No, attend to it now. And now that I've already said that, I feel like I have to send an invoice to, you know, to ACC. So now, enough of them. And also, in terms of population decline that we're seeing in a lot of developed countries, we can avoid that by incentivizing family today.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Ya, umpulikini nandi mpupife mongule yone na yoso ndaha o ndine kia omwale ripo na wakimbinga.
Yeah, not that yet. I was just wrapping up here, mind the gap, and then I pack my bags and disappear out of here. So that means that brings us, obviously, the time is it's a minute past the one. That obviously brings us to the end of Mind the Gap for this week, and see you next weekend. Next weekend I'm gonna have money, so I will even be more happier than I am today. Life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans. That was John Lennon. So let's just try to the best of our abilities to live by that code. And the first way to do that is appreciate what we already have. Not less avoid. You can't avoid it. It's human nature. Let's fight the hedonic treadmill. Just look it up if you don't know what that is. It's a psychological term that makes you want something so bad, but once you get it in 2 days, 2-3 days, it starts looking very ordinary, and you start, say, you know, chasing another goal again. You know, you have a crush, you chase it for 5-10 years, you get her, next thing you know, you are now eyeing the Kamboro. Oh, Baba, what? Well, it turns out there is a psychological explanation to that. The term is called hedonic treadmill. You have to fight it, otherwise you're going to end up with STD. So, until next week, or for Home Run, until Monday to Friday, that's tomorrow. You all have a good one.